Welcome to Attract Your Soulmate, the keys conscious, smart, successful women need to know to attract the right partner and create lifelong love, brought to you by the Art of Love and Feminine Power Programs. Your hosts for the series are best-selling author Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit, founder of Feminine Power.
Hi, everyone. This is Claire, and I'm so excited to be here today with the brilliant, beautiful, and amazing Lauren Francis, who is an internationally acclaimed love and relationship expert, author, and media personality, and the very discreet love coach for some of the most brilliant women in Hollywood. She's been called the Man Whisperer by Extra, the Flirt Fairy by Victoria's Secret. She's been featured on Bravo, Fox, and NBC as the premier dating expert for women. Her transformational man magnet makeovers for online dating have been featured on The Doctors, The Ricky Lake Show, and more. Her international bestseller, Dating, Mating, and Manhandling, the
Ornithological.
You'll have to help me out with this. The Ornithological Guide to Men.
A Bird Watcher's Guide to Men.
Dating, Mating, and Manhandling, the Ornithological Guide to Men, has been called the ultimate dating guide for the modern woman. And her exclusive Man Magnet Makeover events for online dating and her Romantic Reboot podcast have launched countless love lies. And what I most deeply just appreciate and admire about Lauren in having the privilege to get to know her personally in recent times is, Lauren has so much wisdom, she has so much knowledge, but it's really the depth of her compassion and deep love for women being empowered that holds such a space of magic to heal love wounds at their core that supports her clients, you know, these amazing women, to find their confidence and power in places that have previously been raw and vulnerable and untouched. And what that makes possible is such a healing of the feminine and such a healing of love and wholeness. So I couldn't imagine anyone I'd rather be with today to be diving in to her topic so we can begin to have some of that magic in our own love lives as well. So welcome, Lauren, to our series.
You.
It's so great to have you with us.
Thank you. And what a beautiful introduction. I was touched listening to that.
Well, I'm touched witnessing this sort of alchemical work that you do with women. And, you know, I think you hold such a multidimensional perspective on this because you work with so many brilliant, amazing, talented, gifted, powerful women
right.
in the world, right?
I do.
You know, I have a tribe of women like this. You know, one of the things, I mean, love was so hard for me. I really struggled in this area. It wasn't easy. And so many brilliant, amazing, creative, gifted women really struggle in the area of love. So
right.
what's up with that from your perspective? Why is it so hard as a conscious woman, you know, when we have so many amazing things happening in our career or our life or our spiritual life? We're caring, compassionate people. We have so much love to give. We've worked on ourselves. We're, you know, multidimensional. But then what is this, the unavailable men or the patterns or the this or the that? What's going on for women that you see in the area of love?
It's such a layered question, and it has so much depth. And and obviously Claire's perspective, you know, you have so much vision about the 360 degree issue of what it is to create attraction. And I think specifically for evolved, conscious, empowered women, or let's say you're evolved and conscious and don't even feel that empowered in the world, but just consciousness, right? Your consciousness, being so developed, is how to translate that kind of development whether it's professional success, whether it's like a level of consciousness, whether it's a level of personal healing and understanding, how do you translate and articulate that and transmute that into a balanced love relationship? And the thing about creating love is that it takes two people, right? And so often, women who are really developed in their, this question almost has three answers to it. So let's say you're really empowered in your professional life, but you're not creating that kind of success in your personal life, which is a very big disconnect for women, right? So you own your own home, you're successful in the world, you're successful, you're sitting on boards, you're a powerful member of your community. But what happens is, and this is almost like a trite answer in a way, but I think that women have been moved more into their masculine energy to manifest. A lot of women work from the masculine to manifest. So if you're in corporate America, if you're a doctor that's in the ER, women have really developed excellent communication skills when it comes to business, when it comes to work, when it comes to finance. And there is a different language when it comes to creating romance. And I always say that romance is literally, it's almost like going into an altered state. And I call it the cult of two, where it develops its own language, its own handshake, it's got its own holidays, it's got its own, it creates its own world. And so to get out of the workaday world, to get out of the workplace world, to get out of the, let's say if you're a celebrity in the world of celebrity, it is a different language, and it is about creating an alternate kind of space with a romantic partner. And it's a different skill set. It's a different skill set than one has than one uses with their children, than one uses with your broker, than one uses with your employees. So, creating romance is a different skill set. It's got its own language, its own anniversaries, its own holidays. And to know how to slip out of your workaday world, your professional world, your mommying world, if you're a mommy, and into a romantic kind of connection, it's almost like an actress sometimes needing to kind of slip out of her ordinary persona and into a different persona when it comes to getting on stage or, for most women, really creating love, going into from what I call work mode and getting into man mode.
Uh-huh. So it's like there's a certain energetic and a way of showing up that we've been connected to that's really been necessary, really helped us to create success in the world. And it's like that energetic, it's kind of not the same frequency or the same
right,
the same way of being embodied in ourselves that magnetizes love or creates a space for romance.
Well, it can if it's working for you. So some women are on, just whatever they're doing is actually working, so they are creating love. With the same kind of energy that they're manifesting other things. But if you're single, I work with a lot of super alpha women, and I always say alpha women are not masculine necessarily. They've got a lot of juice. So alpha women have the opportunity to be even more ultra femme than beta women, right? So alpha and beta is just it's just energy. Are you a dominant personality? But you can be extremely powerful and extremely feminine at the same time. So a lot of my work is about how to take whatever energy you've got and really teach you how to get into, that romantic energy, that romantic iteration of your passion and your power.
So much more I want to ask you about that part, particularly like the feminine part without losing our power. But first, I want to just ask you just a little bit more about the foundation of your work. So I think it really helps to create context. Because one of the things that's really unusual about you, and I haven't seen really anyone else coach in the way that you coach, where you're working on both the deepest level of inner transformation, but you're also working on outer transformation, how that shows up. And, and why are both important?
Oh, that's such a great question. Yes. So I do some work that I created called Wound Work, which, my passion is about helping women create what I call legendary love and bodice ripping romance, and I want you to have them both at one time. So you can, a lot of people will just kind of write a checklist about what it is that you want to find, the characteristics that you want to find in a partner. And because I'm an expert in online dating and app dating, I got very, I lasered in on, why is it that people can write this list and put things out, but they're not getting back what they want. And so I created two pieces of work. One is about the inner piece, which I'm actually going to go back to at the end, but I'm going to talk about the outer piece first. So, I believe that people are a system, and it's not only what you have on the inside. A lot of women say, I want men to authentically love me just the way I am. I don't want to have to change at all. And that's fine as long as he's found you. But if he hasn't found you, women do often have this vision about the kind of man they want to draw in. But the thing is, that man that they want to draw in, that powerful man, that successful man, that alpha man, right, that a lot of women want to find, has also a vision of the kind of woman he wants to pull in, about how she looks, about how she's living. So if you want a certain kind of man and he's not picking you, and you know who you are if you're listening to this call, because you're the person who's like been winking or flirting with men or swiping on men and they're not connecting with you, it really is often because you're not presenting like the kind of woman he's picturing himself being with. Right. Mm-hmm. So just on the outside of things, like if you look at marketing, right, when they market a car or, a perfume, et cetera, it's not what you're creating is not for the car company, is not creating an ad for the car company. It's really creating an ad for the person that's going to buy the car, put in very gross terms. So when women are looking for love, because I was a publicist and a marketing and branding person before I became a love coach and my former iteration of myself, I really do understand how to present something to the person that would be the most attracted to it. So when you're dating, even if it's not online dating, but even just when you're dating, when you're presenting yourself to partners, if you want a certain kind of relationship, you need to become the person, right? It's you need to become the thing that you love or want to be loved by. And so my outside work, I created these man magnet makeovers where, it's like romance camp. It's a 4-day sleepover, and we really create a new vision of love about what you want to look like on the outside. We put together a dating wardrobe. We take amazing photographs. The photographer that I work with just shot Cindy Crawford last week. It's like a real glam team. And then we really create this vision of love about if you could have anything that you wanted, what would that be? So I really do start from the place of creation, which I think is also why I work with a lot of creatives, because my work is very like, let's dream up a completely new dream that's even divorced from any life you've been living. Like, what are your epic possibilities? And then we manifest that on the outside. So all of a sudden you'll look like the woman that you've always wanted to look like, right? Even in your fantasy. So we don't make you over to look like what I want you to look like. You pick a romantic
or
icon.
What society kind of says is like a traditionally desirable
look. Oh, exactly.
Look, right?
Exactly.
Like, because I know, and I've seen the before and afters of the work that you do, and the thing that's so striking is it's like, and I want to speak a bit more about my own experience of this, but, it's about becoming visible as yourself, but as
right.
that romantic self, as that self that's
right.
really authentically connected to that energetic of romance and femininity.
Exactly. And articulating that, like most women, most women are not really encouraged in a healthy way to dream up this part of themselves and create this part of themselves. A lot of the imaging is about being sexualized in the media.
Right.
Or, I read, I was a Cosmo reader and a Tiger Beat reader when I was little. And, I... I looked at images of femininity. Like I looked at my mother and her particular brand of femininity. And my mother, you know, was like, they used to call her the body. You know, she had like this amazing shape, but she never felt really beautiful. She thought her older sister was beautiful. So she didn't parent me as a woman who felt beautiful about herself. And so it's really interesting. So, you know, how girls and how teenagers think of their own body image, really that's reflected back from images in the culture, what your parents, your father, your mother, your, you know, the boys in your vicinity, the girls in your vicinity, you know, how they react and reflect. So that either empowers you or damages you or moves you into a certain way of looking at yourself. And so, and then you go and you get married, maybe you have children, maybe your husband's cheated on you, maybe that part of you was never a particularly valuable or esteemed part of you. Like I work with women all over the world, and a lot of women, you know, I've worked with women that literally wear hijabs. And, you know, so this identity of owning your own femininity and creating your own new identity as a feminine, romantic, and even maybe as a sexual woman is an amazing opportunity to break free.
And I want to underscore at any age, right? Because
oh,
that's
I work
another
with women
in
their 80s.
Culture. Exactly. That's another thing in our culture, which I would ageism. Right. No, it's just that somehow there's a taboo around expressing our sexuality as we get to
exactly.
a certain age, you know, and so we disown those aspects of ourselves that are actually the energetic that we need to connect to create the space for romance, for love, for that kind of passionate
yes.
attraction and connection.
And thank
and
you
I've
for
seen,
saying that.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, the thing that I didn't, I'm actually interrupting you, so I'm going to let you finish.
No.
Thought, I'm sorry. We're on the phone.
We have so much to say on this.
So the thing that I get the most joy about, I had a 35-year-old who I talked to on the phone. She said, am I too old? And I was like, oh, my God. It makes me want to tear my hair out when I hear that. And I work with women literally I work with women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I've never had a 90-year-old, but I really, if you're in your 90s, please call me because they're, you know, romance, romantic energy, your feminine energy is beautiful at any and every age. And I will tell you that, you know, that is like, if I'm a crusader about anything, it's literally about giving women the confidence to connect with their femininity. And this ageist culture actually does not exist. I want to tell you, this is the magic trick. It actually doesn't exist. Like when you are, I what I call it is like reigniting a romantic pilot light. And I give women the space. I give women the space to become truly self-defining. And what does that mean? That means that it's like, can I swear, Claire?
Yes.
You can't give a crap. You cannot give a fuck about what anybody else is messaging to you, thinking about you, what your culture is telling you, what your parents have told you, what your environment is telling you, what the press is telling you. Literally, I am just interested in you dreaming up your reality. And
right.
when you dream it up. And that's what I'm a transformational coach. That's what I'm like, literally like it's a Shakti empowerment, right? When you get permission, which is really what I do with my work and my seminars, everything I do is really about giving women permission to be themselves, their real authentic selves before they got damaged, before they got told what to do, right? And before
yeah.
they got squished, before they got squished. And so,
yeah.
you know, having the space to space to dream it up and unsquish and to, you know, and so I will say to women, what is your romantic icon? Pick anybody. I've had women say their romantic icon is Queen Elizabeth from the 1500s. I'm not kidding. I've had Amelia Earhart. I literally had a Sylvia Plath. I was like, really, Sylvia Plath? I'm like, okay, the woman wore black, but she had fantastic cocktail dresses. So, you know, it can be from any time. It can be a creature of fantasy. you know, it could be a creature from, you know, a woman from literature. It could be like Jennifer Aniston or Angelina Jolie, Penelope Cruz. It does not matter. What matters is that you start dreaming up. Like, you pick someone who's got an expression of femininity that turns you on. And then what we do is we kind of morph your look on the outside between that person and yourself. Now, I, you know, do love corsets. So I love Scarlett O'Hara, even though the politics are all wrong. It was that moment at the Christmas party, you know, at the picnic at 12 Oaks when she was flocked by a group of men. And I do have like a lot of décolletage. So I like that. But it doesn't, so it doesn't even have to be a real person.
So this is part of the process of being able to activate this and bring forward this as this essence, this feminine essence, is to kind of like find and identify, like, you know, who is the woman, kind of either a literature figure or someone who's living, who expresses a kind of like a quality of femininity and romance.
Romance. Sophia Loren.
Yeah, that feels like it expresses your essence.
Well, and not only your essence, but like if you had some of her superpowers, you would be able to manifest. You would be out of your head. You would just be emboldened and feel like when you walked in the room, you were the person that you didn't even know that you could be. And it's very interesting because I'm coaching a really famous actress right now, and she had Tinder swiped on a man who had not responded, you know, they had connected, but he's super successful and she had not flirted effectively with him. I'm really like, I really am like Henry Higgins meets Cyrano de Bergerac, meets a love witch. So I literally texted to him as her and he responded. And then I've been coaching her and they've got their first date on Monday, but she's really nervous about meeting him because he seems so successful. He's so out of her league. So often what happens is, when you move into the more, when you up your game, which is really what I teach women how to do, like how do you up your game? Because online dating and the world really is like, it is like instant karma. What you, this is the part of the call everybody's going to hate. What you put out really affects what comes back to you. It's not that there are no good men out there. It's not that men don't love older women per se. It's not that, you know, it's impossible to meet men in New York or wherever you're living. It is that they're not seeing you. It's what Claire said at the beginning of the call. It's like you're not visible to the people who you want to be with. But she was like, oh, and what happens is when you move into this next iteration of yourself, higher vibration of yourself, it will attract a higher vibration man. But the problem is you're not really living there yet. Right? You don't really have the confidence to be that person. So a lot of what my work is doing has been about holding a woman's hand and giving her the tools to create the relatedness with that kind of person. And that's where the inner work comes in that you were talking about, Claire, those heart wounds mm-hmm. kind of get in the way. And, you know, but what I said to my client was, you know, even a king is lonely in a castle. So I don't care how powerful the man is, right? It's just, you know, everyone needs love. So it's really learning then how to love men. And it's really learning how to, you know, date, mate, and manhandle effectively. And but what's so beautiful is that when men see this vision of you, let's say you date online, and there's this really up-leveled vision of you, and I really talk about how to speak with a vision of love and not only look like a vision of love and then be a vision of love, it's really scary. It's scary because you don't really have the confidence to be that person yet, but because the man's holding you in that way that you've presented, you actually become that person. He starts treating you like the woman you've always wanted to be.
So I'm just trying to get a sense of like, how do we do this? So, you know, in terms of being able to kind of have, so it's a shift out of, let me maybe back up here because there's like a lot of thoughts.
I said a lot of stuff
all at once. Yeah, there's a lot that I want to respond to. So I think part of it is, so firstly, step one, you know, like as a feminist, right, for years and years and years, I totally rejected that I needed to try to look any way to be able to get the attention of a man.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
And I think that's part of it is, you know, we live in a culture that has valued women for our sexuality and our capacity to give
period.
Care. And those
right.
of us who've been trying to, like, awaken our power have been kind of in reaction or rebellion,
just
you know,
being
to a
mothers,
lot of ways.
Right.
Well, yeah,
or
either being mothers
object.
or you know, kind of like trying to mold and morph ourselves to look and show up in a particular way so that we would gain the approval and attention of men.
Right.
And we're, you know, those of us in this conversation, we're like, well, we want a soulmate. I want a soulmate. That was me. I want a soulmate. And my soulmate, my true love, will recognize me for who I am. Right. And so part of it is it's like letting go of the idea that, you know, that somehow, but meanwhile, we're disconnected from this romantic self that would be
right.
kind of visible as a woman in that context. I mean, I went through a huge transformation around this before I met my husband, where I really got out of being in reaction, and I really saw it's not about me morphing into being someone that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me becoming visible as myself. I got my colors
right.
done. You know,
oh.
I got my colors done. I had a and this is, I really want to come out about this because I feel like, no, it wasn't just, but it wasn't
clear.
An external thing, because my old pattern was
right.
like, you know, who do I need to be to like try to get love and attention?
Right.
It was so not that. It was so, how do I really become myself and be actually even more visible?
Who do you want to be?
As
who do you
who I
be?
Am.
Right.
right. In a way that I can totally let go of control. And, you know, show up as myself so that my soulmate can recognize me and I can become visible as me. So the romantic persona, that's part of bringing that out. You know, how else do we do that? Like, what are some next steps that we can actually be
Thank
doing
you.
To be showing up in this way where we're kind of in this new energetic of romance?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And actually what I want to say is I want to kind of, first of all, it is like such a joy talking about my work with you, Claire, because I feel you're so brilliant and you're so, I just feel smarter being on the phone with you. It's just fantastic. But you really get the essence of what I do, which is can be hard to see from the outside. It's hard to articulate
right.
From the outside. Because it seems like it's one thing, but then it's a whole other thing. There's
yeah.
like a lot of depth underneath. So the thing is that what I think that Claire is, I think that what you were just saying, which is really what my work is centered around, and when I talk about this romantic persona, which is it's kind of like an undiscussed and undeveloped part, even in a psychology field, because there's human development, there's sexual development, but this romantic self. What I do is I really challenge your a woman's status quo about how she thinks about romance and about how it's like wherever you are at this time in life, you're at a new place, you're at a place you've never been. And if you had the opportunity to be free of conditioning, if you had the opportunity to be free of the noise in the world, if you had the opportunity to be free of your past experience, who would you want to be in your life now? And that freedom to really create is magic. That's really magic. And that truly is your authentic self. And when most women get into my orbit, they have a desire for something. They might be more developed and articulate about certain parts of themselves, but that just conjuring, having the opportunity to reimagine what they choose now is that creates a real authenticity. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like it's off the grid of idea, you know, old conditioning and old ideas and old wounding. It really is like, you know, if I could be anything, if I could have anything, if I could be anyone I wanted right now. And sometimes women re-choose exactly where they're coming from, but not usually. They usually reach up. They usually dream up. So That I hope did that answer your question?
Yeah. Well, so we're connecting to this persona, and we're connecting with our yearnings. I hear you say like what
your
do
yearning,
we kind of
your longing.
Yearn? Like what our desires?
Right.
Our hunger,
our
appetite.
It turns women on. It turns, if you're not excited about love, you are not turned on about yourself as a romantic being in love.
Right? Our hunger, our appetite,
period.
Our desires.
Period.
And being able to reconnect and actually feel, you know, from this place of how, like, what is it that we really desire to experience sexually
exactly.
or romantically?
Exactly.
Right? And actually kind of connect with that.
Exactly. Like, I met Frank Sinatra's sidekick for many years, and I said to him, because he had been around to everybody, right? I said, okay, tell me, who was the most irresistible woman in the world around Frank. And he said, because he was with Ava Gardner, he was this with this one and that one, he said, hands down, it was Sophia Loren. And I said, thank you, because that woman she is not looking for approval from anybody. She's not looking for approval. She's just embodied. She was not in her head. She never seems like she's in her head. She never seems like she's worried about what you think about her. She was at the Oscars, and she was lined up with all these little starlets. Major starlets from, like, you know, many eras. And she was, I swear to God, she's got to be 80 years old. And she was in her late 70s. And she was in this golden gown. And she blew everybody off the stage. So, you know, you never get the sense that she's trying to make you like her. She just doesn't care. She just doesn't care.
So,
she's just breathing in and out.
Right. So I think, you know, and I think this is actually true for a lot of us, you know, a lot of us have a lot of confidence in our careers, but when we connect to this
right.
kind of romantic self, we feel very insecure and our old
Correct.
Wounds
right.
come up, right? So how do we transform those wounds so that we can show up in that place of lack of self-consciousness, allowing
right.
ourselves and our desires and our radiance to be visible. How do we
Beautiful.
Do that?
So I do another piece of work, which I do two other things that are very helpful. One is that I give women a language about how to talk to men, how to flirt with men, how to set boundaries with men, how to communicate your relationship goals, and how to create relatedness through the dating, texting, flirting, boundary-setting place. Because I always say that a woman that can't say no to a man has a really hard time saying yes. So the problem with being a fully expressed romantic feminine being that's empowered in the world is that you get a lot of attention. A lot of men pay attention, and a lot of women don't know how to feel safe in the world saying no to men, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to,
yeah.
A lot of women have, you know, the statistics of assault, rape, battery are enormous, right? So one of the things that I do, I'm an online dating and an actual physical dating safety expert. And so I teach women how to date in a safe way so that you are not in positions that you should not be in, and how to assess really quickly if men are safe people for you to actually engage with, and how to say no and reject men or accept, you know, a compliment without it going any further if you don't want to. So one of the things that I want to say is that, interestingly, when you turn into, like, what I call a man magnet, and I always say finding a needle in a haystack is easy when you're a man magnet. It's hard when you're not. You know, the thing that happens is that if you've been getting ghosted a lot, or if you've been getting men that have been making illicit or inappropriate comments, most of my magnets find that when they up-level their offering, that almost never happens to them again. Because men actually have an innate respect for a woman that is really holding a vision of love and that is in her power. And a woman that's confident, which does not mean that nothing bad can happen to women that are confident and in a really beautiful, their most beautiful iteration of themselves. But men do respond with great admiration and respect when it is clear that you admire and respect yourself. That screens out, that takes care of one whole piece of it. The second tip is clearly, I really believe women should have nicknames, that you should, nobody does, you know, your private information is not a privilege, it's not a right for someone that doesn't know you. It's a privilege that they have to earn. So trust is something that's earned. And I really suggest every woman get a burner phone with a completely different second number, and to not ever post photos of your children online. Don't give any information about where you work or any that would lead to, you know, your first and last name, because everyone is so easily Googleable now. And to really protect your privacy, and to always make sure that men, you set up a phone call with men before you meet them, because, you know, online dating is like 2D, and the phone call is a completely different experience. You have like an intuition, that kind of little voice inside of you that goes, ooh, I don't like him. So I never, ever want a woman to go out with a man that she feels blasé about, or definitely if she has that little like thought like, ooh, I don't know. I want you to trust that little inner voice, that inner knowing, that's your sixth sense. There's a great book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker, who really talks about, he's a safety expert for a lot of celebrities, really talks about the biggest problem that most women have is they don't listen to that inner knowing. So I'm not a fan of dating. You know, I only want women, you know, my clients only go out with men they're really genuinely excited about. And then when you set up a date, you meet at a bar, and if you do not, if he does not look like his photo, you literally, you know, can say, I am so sorry, you're not the person I thought I was here to meet, and I actually need to go. So you don't ever force yourself through a situation which is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. And
so
then
this is, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And this just one last tip. I have a last tip.
Sure.
About
go ahead. Go ahead. Because I want to respond and say something about
this. Respond.
No, no, but tell the last tip first, then I'm going to
And then the last tip is you never want to reject a man to his face. So if you're out on a date and you don't like the man, you're never getting in his car, you're meeting him someplace. And then if you don't like him, literally you just nip into the bathroom when you come back out and just say, it was such a delight to meet you, and I actually, I need to go, but thank you so much for taking the time to say, you know, to connect. And he'll say, oh, well, what, you've got to leave? Just go, oh, I do, I actually do, but, you know, thank you so much for making time to meet. And then if he says, well, can we see each other again? You can say, you know, I have a lot on in the next week or so, but please feel free to, you know, shoot me a text or give me a ring. And when he does that, when he shoots you a text or a ring, then you can say, you know, it was such a delight meeting, you know, you don't say delight. It was such, it was so nice connecting. Sadly, I didn't quite feel that special click I want to feel, but I really appreciate you taking the time to meet me. You're never going to say wish you all the best, which makes men furious. And what this does is I have clients over and over and over again that will have men say, thank you so much for telling me. That was the classiest, thank you so much. It was such a classy way to handle it. Or I really appreciate you telling me, because the hardest thing about dating, this is like the hardest thing, is that you don't know what happens. People just literally stop talking to you because they don't know how to have these kinds of conversations. So, you know, when you say no to a man, you never know, like face to face, it hurts them. You know, like it would hurt if you went out and dated and like actually said, do you want to see me again? The guy said, no. It's like, that's why the guy always says, I'll call you, because he doesn't know what to say. So that's not a bad thing if a guy says, I'll call you, and then never does. They don't know what to say. Because it's really, you know, after first date, you're never going to, you know, they need to contact you. That's how they let you know if they want to pursue. Because, again, all of the dating, the courtship stuff that I talk about really is like that a woman can let a man know if she's interested. She can always say, you know, would you like to get some tea? You can always ask a man out on a first date, but then never again. They just need to know that you're open. Oh my God, I just talked for such a long time without you.
No, no, it's so great. Well, but what I'm seeing is, well, I mean, this was why I was kind of like going to jump in on what I was going to say is, so, you know, connecting with this romantic persona, connecting with our yearnings, our desires, a lot of energy gets released. And so what can often come up
That's
is like a fear and a lack of safety.
Right.
And all of the ways that we've squished and dimmed
right.
our light because we're afraid of being able to keep ourselves safe. And what I hear you saying is
right.
it's really important as you're amplifying your light, you know, you are reigniting
right.
romantic pilot light, and your magnetism
mm-hmm.
is being amplified, and you're opening up is to
right.
actually learn the skills. And there are some specific skills that you can learn from how you set
right.
up meeting to what you actually say and the kind of language to do that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you need, so to be able to let the full radiance of your light shine, you need to, you know, have the skills to really be able to say no, and no thank you. I mean, in all the ways that you
know how to, yeah.
But to feel confident.
In control.
That you are in control of your realm and who gets to come in and out of your personal space, and you're not going to be overwhelmed or overtaken, that
Correct.
You actually have the skills to create that kind of safety that will enable you to expand and let your light be amplified. So that's powerful.
Exactly.
It's really, really
Okay, I just love, you articulated what I do better than I do. That is, yeah, so it's like if you have been used
right.
to driving a VW bug and I put you in a Porsche.
Right.
You might love a Porsche, but what
right.
you won't know how to handle it. You won't know how to get it into gear. It's going to go faster than it's ever gone, and you need to know how to not crash your car. So that's education. And
right.
the good news is that women can learn how to do that very quickly, but it is an important thing. So because what happens is when, you know, if you come and do something like the magnet, you are going to have like superpowers of magnetic attraction. But then, you know, it can be frightening for women to engage as that person. And, you know, you will get more attention, you know, than you've ever gotten. Like, what's interesting about the internet is that women now have the opportunity to get as much attention as they want to. And by the kinds of people that they want to, when they know, you know, if you've got someone like me in your back pocket. But then you're going to need to know what to do about it. And so... So that's the outer, that's the dating information. And then the last piece of this is that when you're looking for somebody, you know, I talk about a core heart wound that everybody has.
I was going to ask you about this. This was the piece I really wanted to get to at the end here is like, really, yeah, how do we heal this core heart wound that so many of us have around romance, around our own attractiveness or desirability, around having, about being committed to, being adored. Yeah, that.
That thing.
It was there underneath my, I'm a strong, powerful woman and men are intimidated by powerful women. Underneath all of that, when I looked at it, there was a heart wound around me being valuable for just being loved for who I was, you know, and I think that's underneath so many of us, you know, our kind of all powerful persona.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I created this work because I do one-on-one sessions with women, and then I started developing a way of defining what the wounding has been, you know, and people really tend to have themes, right? They tend to have themes. So, you know, let's say you felt devalued in your family. Let's say you felt devalued in your family. Then that can iterate out into feeling devalued at work. That can iterate out into feeling devalued by the men in your life. That can mean that you actually wind up having your money devalued in the stock market, right? So there are these core things that people, it's almost like it's the thing, it's so big that you can't even see it. It's just like the air you breathe. You can't even see it, but it's around, it's in you and it's around you. So it's really important to understand this main driver. And what people tend to do is that everybody's always looking for a different ending to their childhood story. The problem is that your childhood story only ends one way. Your childhood's already over. So it ended. It ended, and that was it. That's what happened. But what people tend to do is have a kind of romantic, what I call romantic wish fulfillment, that if they can only pull in someone exactly like their critical mother or someone who, you know, devalued them like they're devaluing dad, or someone who, you know, put too much attention on their, you know, for one part of their achievement, you know, and they weren't valued for the other part of themselves. If only they can pull in the exact same dynamic. It's all unconscious. It's like the Terminator. It's like when he goes into the bar and he's scanning for Sarah Connor, right? We all have this ability to scan and find someone who's going to literally press our heart wound button, right? Somebody who's going to really re-injure that core heart wound, because unconsciously we want to make that person, that dynamic, disappear. So the problem is that if
so, in other words, like our experiences, you know, if we're not conscious of what our heart wound is, mm-hmm. our kind of experiences or what shows up is just evidence and kind of mirrors that heart wound, right?
Over and over and over again. It will happen in multiple relationships, marriages. It can happen in work. It can happen with your children. It's just like your big story. So what I do, I have this process called wound work, which really, and these seminars, extremely powerful, that I do in group. When you can identify what your core wounding is, and you really clearly know what that is, and that can take some help to find or to clarify. But once a woman gets clear, you know, in my work, really, it's all about, like, once you get clear about what your heart wounding is in the core themes, and sometimes there's two or three major things, what we do is we go, okay, what is the exact opposite thing of that thing? So if you were devalued, it would be to be treated with extreme value. If it would be you were ignored, it would be you are paid attention to with deep care. If it was that you were never you never felt beautiful or valued for your femininity, that your partner would then really value that. Because the thing is, you don't want to find a partner that just rips the scab off of your soul. So even if you find what I call this perfect on paper print, so let's say we launch you as a man magnet, you've got this vision of love, you attract this guy that you adore, and the only problem is that he's never really present, and your heart wound is that you felt invisible, right? Even though you found this perfect on paper print on the outside, if he's not doing the inner planes relatedness to you that's healing, it's the wrong relationship for you. And so that is not a legendary love. A legendary love is like, Claire, it sounds like what you found with Craig, where, you know, he values you just for breathing in and out, right? You're just your
own. Wow. That is amazing. You know, Lauren, I've never heard anyone share about this or speak about this in this particular way. This is like such a brilliant insight. I want to just underscore it for everyone because this is like the key. Right? Like, you know, and one of the big questions, like, who do I see again? Who do I keep
right.
being with? Right? Like, who do I go on a second date with? So I'm just taking this in because I'm having like such a deep aha.
Yes.
That I've never had before, and I've interviewed and talked to everybody under the sun. Okay. So I want to just share this because this is so cool. So each of us does have this. Yeah, each of us has this love wound. If we struggle in love, right? So I'm just saying, like, you know, if you struggle in love, chances are there, you know, underneath the story, there's no good men out there, or I'm too old, or you know, men don't want a woman like me who's very mission oriented or kind of spiritual. That was one, you know, these were all in my stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, underneath all of those stories, that, you know, our kind of sad love story.
Right.
Right. Like of the reason why we can't have an extraordinary, legendary love in your terms. You know, there is a love wound. There is a love wound that, you know, has been a core imprint about
Correct.
Who we are
right.
and our worthiness for being cherished, adored, committed to, loved. And so, you know, if you're able to like look at, you know, the patterns that have shown up, like what, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's unavailable men, whether it's men where you're giving so much more than you're receiving, you know, what are the most kind of common ones that you've seen? I mean, there are a lot of them. You know, you're kind of like, you know, you're overdoing, overgiving, and you're kind of having to, you know, you're in mother position or you're
well,
not being,
the,
you know.
Well, yes. And the, well, then that's like, you know, I'm not worthy. Like, so I have to do a lot.
I'm doing a lot. And I'm not getting, you know, I'm not being, you know, kind of cherished, desired, adored. So being able to identify and see that, you know, what that core pattern is clearly, and I think a lot of us here have done a lot of work and might have some awareness out of it.
Sure.
But to think about, you know, what is the healing to that? What would be the experience in love that would be the healing to that?
Right.
So the experience of someone being really available to see you, the experience of someone being really ready for a commitment, the experience of someone just being really into you sexually and adoring and loving your body and cherishing you. Like what
right.
is the energetic, you know, what is the quality or what is the experience that would be the healing of that love wound, and to begin to step into that
right.
and really hold a space for that and begin to be attracted to the person. Like you're kind of almost, you know, what you're looking for, you know how your consciousness changes depending on like what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts what you see. You know how when you go mm-hmm. and you buy a new car and you suddenly notice all the other cars on the road. It's like how the brain works.
Oh my God, there's a
when
million
you,
red cars.
Right. VW Golf. Or, you know, you suddenly, when you get clear about this, now, when you get clear about this, I'm looking for a man who cherishes me for my very existence. That was one of my power statements. My very existence
oh,
is more than enough.
Oh, I love it.
To be loved, cherished. No, my very existence is more than enough to fulfill my beloved beyond his wildest dreams. There's like nothing I need to do or give or, you know, be to be loved other than just to exist. You know,
but
and
my
that
question
was
to you. My question to you, though, specifically, was the wounding that you were not in? What was the wounding underneath that?
The wounding,
that positive.
Yeah, it was a whole story of like not being wanted. Like I'm not wanted or loved for who I am. You know that who I am is not enough somehow.
Right.
You know I'm
so
too much of this or not enough of that, and that was my experience in relationship patterns too. You know,
right.
my very existence is more than enough. So being able to connect with that, and that's what I hear you say,
right.
like, you know, there is work to do, and
right.
you have to identify that. You can't have that be, you know, you have to identify what that is and get clear about, like, what would be the healing of this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and in making that clear, you create a space to attract men who are going to give you that and be that, and that's what you're looking for, and that's who you're looking to partner
Correct.
With, right?
Right.
So
Beautifully
you go
said.
Out on a date and you start feeling rejected. This is not the dynamic you want to be in versus you're attracted to that or that's somehow familiar. You know, that what you're attracted to is a man who's really into you, who's really responding to you, who's really a healing. And, you know, in my case,
right.
on our first kind of weekend mm-hmm. away together, we had this amazing experience where just spontaneously he started crying and saying, and I asked him, what's happening? Why are you crying? He said, that you exist. Your very existence. No.
Okay.
No, seriously, he
I've
said this
killed.
Thing. No, he did. He said this thing to me, and he said, I've been dreaming
okay.
about you since I was 11 years old,
okay.
and that you exist. Just
listen
like,
to
like,
this.
That you
please.
Exist. That you exist just lights
clear.
Me up. But I got clear about what that healing
right.
was going to be for me, and then the man who could actually bring that forward shows up. So this is alchemy.
So this is actually, this is, so this and this becomes your white glove test.
Right.
This becomes, this heart wound is your stand. This is what I call the stand for love. When you really get clear that you are not interested in being re-wounded and re-injured, because when you're a man magnet, you can pull in everything. A magnet pulls in everything, right? But, you know, there's ways to screen out for that. But this is how, this is why when you have real clarity about what your heart healing is, women get really distracted by the bells and the whistles and the this's and the that's and the awards and the money and the cash and the whatever it is that makes you happy. Like, you know, if you like really cute guys or if tall guys, whatever, right? But once you really get clarity about what your heart healing needs to be, and I always say, you know, it's like frosting in the cake. The cake is the stuff you have to have. The frosting is the fun. You know, but the thing is, most women are eating a lot of frosting right out of the can. And some women are just eating a lot of cake.
Distracted by the frosting.
Distracted by the frosting. You know, or maybe I'm like, oh, no, I want a different, I want buttercream. Oh, no, I want chocolate, whatever. And then some women are just eating a lot of cake with no frosting. So you want enough frosting on the cake so that you want to eat it. So, but this heart healing thing, this heart wound, and this what I call the legendary love dynamic, is a thing that will allow you to figure out really quickly on the first couple of dates whether or not this person has real relationship potential for you.
And the one who does, who is the one, or the one that you want to keep seeing, is the one who is in this, I love this, the legendary love dynamic, someone who is showing up in the dynamic that is the healing of that heart wound.
Right.
To actually kind
of
really bring that, right? So that, and it's not that they're responsible for healing us or that we're wounded, but we're conscious of it. We're healing that in ourselves. And so what we're looking for is the man who is the match for that healed dynamic, as opposed to the man who is a match inside that old wounded dynamic.
And I want to take it one step further. And you and Craig are a perfect example. So the thing is that once you get clear about what your heart wounds are, here's what's amazing about love, is that it kind of takes two to make a thing go right. And so you don't really get – what happens is that's why love exists. That's why people exist. That's why we're iterated into like 6 billion different beings on this planet. The reason why people exist is, I think, for this person. It's like this search for wholeness. And when you find someone who actually loves you in a corrective way, you usually wind up loving them in a corrective way, because it can't just be a one-way street. It's not like you get the healing and they don't. So usually what I find with my clients, my graduates, is that when they find the heart-healing person, you wind up healing their heart too. It's like a mysterious kind of miracle. And then what happens is you both heal and then you both start to evolve. And that's what I call rising in love. And then you become...
Lauren.
This is my next book.
That's beautiful. This is gorgeous. I love this.
Thank you, Claire. I love you so much. I love that you let me talk about what I do and you understand.
No, I love you so much. You're so brilliant and you're so you really create the space for alchemy and for healing for women at such a deep level. I'm so excited about the work that you do. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you can share about what's coming up and how people can find out more about the opportunities to work with you.
Sure. Well, I do man magnet makeovers. They happen 3 times a year, and you can literally Google man magnet makeover and it will come up. I do a program called Manifest, which is a 4-weekend workshop. I just love getting women in a room together. It creates so much community and energy. And then, I don't know, we've got some free stuff. If you go to laurenfrancis.com, I actually think if you go to www.cupidsinbox.com, you'll get to my site, but you might not. So my site is Lauren Frances with FRANCES, and you can sign up for free stuff. You know, you can get my newsletter, and there are free podcasts that are really super-duper helpful.
Thank you. And so final words, if you could just put your arm around and whisper into the ear of each woman here Any final words about reigniting her romantic pilot light?
Oh, honestly, just purr. Just like go purr, and that should just make you really happy. Literally, I mean, you know, I think that the most exciting thing for me when I meet teachers or healers is that, you know, if when I listen to them, I feel like an aha, or I feel that I get oxygen or that possibility. And so whatever, I just really believe that, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing, you will keep getting what you're getting. And then people create a story about why that's so, that doesn't involve them changing. So I just think that any action towards change is an affirmation to yourself. And this is actually really what I want to say, is that I have a lot of women, obviously, it's like, give me your lonely, you're rejected, you're wounded, you're disappointed, right? You're full of, you know, longing, you're sad, you're brokenhearted. And what I want to say is that I'm never upset about the women that are brokenhearted. I never am upset about the women that feel deep grief at being alone or at loss, because that is a yearning for connection. The women that I get worried about, the men that I get worried about, are people that are cut off and don't have any desire. So all of that grief, you know, there is no grief that's too big. There's no loss that's too big to get transformed into excitement. So your mission, fair ladies, is to get excited. And when you get excited and when you do the actions to reignite, then you will start to transform your life. You all have the power to do it. You just have to take the action. One stiletto step at a time, or earth shoe at a time, whatever your flavor is.
Thank you, Lauren. I love and appreciate you so much.
I love
so
you, Claire.
So grateful to have you with us. Much love. Many blessings.
You too.
Mwah. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Attract Your Soulmate, the keys conscious, smart, successful women need to know to attract the right partner and create lifelong love. For more information about how you can download the audios, visit artofloveaudios.com. Again, that's artofloveaudios.com. We want to thank our event partners, The Art of Love, today's leading online community for creating and sustaining extraordinary relationships, and Feminine Power, the leading online community, courses, and advanced coaching, facilitation, and leadership trainings designed to support women stepping into their highest possibilities. Find out more at femininepower.com. On behalf of your hosts, Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit, we want to thank you again for participating in this series and send you much support on your journey to lifelong love and happiness with your soulmate.